Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's Word today is our second lesson, Book of Romans, chapter 6, beginning at the 15th verse. Dear brothers and sisters in the faith, today's lesson, Romans chapter 6, the last verse of that lesson, verse 23, you probably know the words. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's an old saying, crime doesn't pay. Crime doesn't pay. But actually, that's not really true. Crime does pay. It just doesn't pay in the way that you might like. But it gives you a paycheck. You earn it. You earn fines or community service or time in prison. And so also the Bible says, today's lesson, the wages of sin is death. That's what you earn. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a straightforward verse in the Bible. It's pretty hard to slice it any differently. What it says simply is that sin, and that's what comes out of your mouth, that's what you do, that's the thoughts of the human heart, that's actually what we're born with. Sin pays you. It gives you a paycheck. Every time it's there, it gives you pay. It pays you and you earn death. But the Lord, by contrast, gives you life. That's not something that you earn. The Lord doesn't owe anybody anything. The Lord made you in love so that you could have life here. The Lord saved you in love by the cross of Jesus so that you could have eternal life. And so the book of Romans in the Bible says, chapter 11, who has given a gift to God that God owes him? That God should have to pay you back? No, for from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Well, we live in the United States of America, and in our nation, we make a great to-do about being free. You could argue that freedom is our moral compass that guides us along. Freedom is our guiding principle. Freedom is our measuring yardstick by which we measure what is right and wrong and what should be or what shouldn't be. Freedom is the deciding argument in every debate, or at least it seems to be. We say to other people, you can't tell me what to do. You can't tell me how to behave. You can't tell me what to think. You can't tell me what to say because I'm free. I'm free. Think about the foundational document of our country. Think about that document. What is it called? The Declaration of what? Independence. I'm free. Think about later on the Constitution of the United States. It does not contain a Bill of Responsibilities. It contains what? A Bill of Rights. I'm free. So what does it mean to be free? Well, a person might say, well, free, that means I can do whatever I want. Now, theoretically, on the face of things, in principle, that sounds right on the money, but try that in practice and see how well it works. How well does it work? Imagine for a moment, it's first thing in the morning and you're late for work. And the only way you're going to get to work on time and not have the boss be mad at you is to drive through the school zone at 100 miles per hour. Now, you love those little kids, and you like their cute little backpacks, and you like to see them going across with the crossing guard. But you know what? The truth is, I'm late for work, and I'm free, and I can do whatever I want, so I'm going to go through at 100 miles an hour. I can do what I want. Well, it's true, you can do what you want. You are free to do that, but you're also likely to leave a few dead children in your wake, or maybe go to jail for vehicular homicide. The problem is you forgot about the paycheck. The wages of sin is death. Let's take an example from the Bible, from history, of a person who was pretty much free to do whatever they wanted to. And that person is, in the Old Testament, King Solomon. King Solomon was fabulously wealthy. He was vastly intelligent. He had absolute power and authority in his kingdom and over some other kingdoms as well, too. He was a man who could do pretty much whatever he wanted. And this is what he did. Ecclesiastes, book of the Bible, Ecclesiastes chapter 2. He says, and I quote, "I built houses, and I planted vineyards, and I made gardens, and I made parks, and I planted all kinds of fruit trees, and I made reservoirs with which to water the trees, and I bought male slaves and female slaves, and I had slaves who were born in my house, and I had great possessions of herds and flocks, more than any who had lived before me in Jerusalem. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the treasures of kings and provinces. And I got singers, both men and women, and many concubines. So I became great, and I surpassed all who were before me in Jerusalem. And also my wisdom remained with me. And whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I kept my heart from no pleasure. My heart found pleasure in all my work, and this was my reward for all my toil." And then, "I considered all that my hands had done and the toil that I had expended in doing it, and behold, all of it was vanity and a striving after the wind, and there was nothing to be gained under the sun." He says, "I did all this, I did what I wanted, and what was the paycheck? Everything that I did, everything that I constructed, everything that I devoted my attention to, in the end, it was just," and he uses a word here, "a breath." That's all the more that it was. It was like trying to hold on to the wind, trying to grab the wind and try to hold it close to yourself and keep it as your possession. He says, it didn't work. But that's not the half of it. We go on in God's word, 1 Kings chapter 11, and this is what the historian says. He says, "Now King Solomon loved many foreign women, along with the daughter of Pharaoh, Moabite women, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidonian, Hittite women from the nations concerning which the Lord had said," and this is the important point, "He said to the people of Israel, 'You shall not enter into marriage with them, neither they with you, because they will surely turn your heart away after their false gods.' But Solomon clung to these in love. He did whatever he wanted. And his wives turned away his heart. When Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not wholly true to the Lord his God, like the heart of his father David was." There's always a paycheck with sin. You go your own way, do your own thing. The wages of sin is death. What was the paycheck there for Solomon? He did whatever he wanted, but it appears that he did not end up with the Lord. Do you end up with the Lord or don't you? That is the question here, And there's a recognition that if it's left free to itself, the human heart, and that's your heart and mine, the human heart will go its own way and will not end up with the Lord, apart from His grace and mercy, apart from Him working through His word, apart from Him testifying to Himself, apart from Him having a person be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And with all of that, our lesson for today asks us a simple question. It says, just do the math. It's straightforward. Here's what the lesson says, Book of Romans. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. You didn't have to follow God. You can do what you want. But, do the math, what fruit did you get from that? All that time from the things with which you are now ashamed. And if you don't know the answer to that, God's word is very clear about it. St. Paul said, I'll tell you what happened in my life. Book of Titus chapter 3, he says, at one time I was foolish. I was disobedient. I was led astray. I was a slave to passions and pleasures. I passed my days in malice and envy. I hated other people, and they hated me right back. And our Lord Jesus talked about the same thing in Matthew chapter 15. He said, what comes out of your mouth came originally from your heart. And that's what defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts and murder and adultery and sexual immorality and theft and false witness and running other people down. These are the things that defile a person. Going back to our lesson, when you were slaves of sin, you were free regarding righteousness. You don't have to do it. Who cares? God can say what He wants. But what fruit did you get from that? What was the result from that, those things of which you are now ashamed? Because the end of those things is death. What you find is that in this life you're defiled, and for the life to come, you never inherit it. It's not a very tasty fruit. Doesn't matter how nice it appears as it sits there on the tree. And so, do the math. Do the math. But now, you have been set free from sin, and you have become slaves of God. And the fruit that you get from that leads to holiness, and it leads to the goal, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. In Christ Jesus our Lord. In Christ Jesus our Lord, He says, you get holiness and you get eternal life. Holiness, which is the beginning of God's work right now, begun at your baptism, and eternal life, which is the final outcome. Saved by the blood of Jesus, washed clean, not by your deeds, but by God's grace. Now, with our love of freedom, we might step on the brakes a little bit when we hear the words slaves of God. And yet I would ask you, is knowing the Lord a slavery? Is salvation a slavery? You do not have to merit the Lord. Salvation is not payday. You don't have to put in so many hours to get so many returns from Almighty God. You're already clean in the Lord Jesus. He washed you clean. Salvation is pardon and peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Is that a slavery? And holiness, is that a slavery? Or is that God giving you a blessing? A blessing of a clean conscience. And the blessing of knowing that when God says something, it's always right. When people talk, who knows? But when the Lord speaks, it's always right. Now, the way is often hard. It's often difficult. But one thing you can be sure is that it is clean. You can sleep at night. And so the psalm writer would say, Psalm 127, the Lord gives to His beloved people rest. And the psalm writer would say, Psalm 86, Lord, teach me your way that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. Not going this way, that way, the other way, where everybody else is going. Unite my heart in one path, and that is to trust you, to know you, to fear your name. And when all is said and done, is that not the first commandment? You shall have no other gods. What does this mean? We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Be united in heart to no other God, no other thing except the Lord. And isn't that your prayer? If you're a Christian person, you pray what? Thy will be done. I know inside of my, maybe I want to go this way or that way, but ultimately, Lord, thy will be done. Freedom from you is death, but to go with you, that's life. And so, Lord, the truth is, you can tell me what to do. You can tell me how to act. You can tell me what to think. You can tell me what to say. And covering all of it is your pardon and your forgiveness, because in Jesus, if I have the Lord Jesus, baptized into his name, knowing him in faith, if I have the Lord Jesus, I'm free. Because the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is everlasting life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.